Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and wherever fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, where you guys, if you hit that subscribe download button, it jacks us up in the sports and rec category in iTunes. It makes me very happy. We're at like number 100. I think this morning.
That's cool.
Very excited about being at number 100.
Yes. Did you see that Edge and Christian?
Yeah.
Top of the charts.
Well, they announced it. So they have like a little mini announcement thing there. That happens whenever like a big wrestling name.
Yeah.
Look, I think their podcast is going to be great. It's probably going to be up there with Talk is Jericho.
Yeah.
And the Stone Cold podcast, because those guys are amazing.
Yes.
But let's not kid ourselves here. They have the full backing of the WWE.
Do they?
Or at least their own Twitter handles.
Yes.
they have the
legitimacy of being champions in the wrestling industry as well. We don't have that.
I will guarantee you within the first year we'll see the Edge and Christian podcast on the WWE Network.
Yeah, probably.
We'll see at least one of those.
Yeah.
And then we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw where you can get our shirts. And
we're not wearing them right now, though.
No, I got my Magnum. Nathan Ragland gave me this Magnum TA shirt.
I'm wearing my...
That's fucking rad. I love that shirt.
My Marty Skrull t-shirt right now.
And we're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We offer all sorts of great rewards to kick in some money to the show and help support it.
Correct.
It's awesome, Larson. It is. Awesome. You know what's awesome? Fucking Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Their 15th anniversary show went down this past Friday. We both checked it out.
Yeah, my first Ring of Honor pay-per-view I've ever watched.
Mine as well. I mean, we've both seen matches from various Ring of
Honor
shows.
Yeah, when they were on Destination a couple years back, I watched an episode or two of their show there.
Yeah.
And you've been trying to catch up on Fight TV of late on their weekly televised
the Fight TV app. You watch that shit for free there. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
This pay-per-view was not free. It was $35.
Yes.
But I felt it was a good investment.
Yes.
It was the first one. This is great. The main event was Adam Cole versus Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels, I wasn't aware of this, has never been Ring of Honor world champion.
Well, I don't think he's ever been world champion, period.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, which is crazy. That's absolutely insane.
Considering he's been in the industry for 24 years.
I remember literally being in college and knowing about him.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Like, that's amazing. He's like, what, 40? He's 40 something.
I would assume he'd be in his mid-40s at least.
Yeah, at least. But anyways, let's start at the top.
Yes.
This is kind of cool, man, because a couple of these cats we were able to see live at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah.
So that kind of informed us going into this show. Very fortuitous timing on that Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show.
Yes.
Because we got to see a couple of guys, for example, Jay White took on Kenny King to open up Ring of Honor 15th anniversary. And, it's a good match.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun match. Jay White, one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He picked up the win.
He won. He won that particular match.
We're
going to get more in depth in the other matches because this is sort of just a curtain jerker.
I don't remember much about it.
I was kind of flirting in and out of the room, too.
Yeah.
I was fluttering about. I did see all. I didn't see all of this one. I think I got into the pay-per-view like 10 minutes late.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think that's why.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Probably like a 15-minute
No,
match.
I watched it. It was an okay match.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting, like the crowd at Ring of Honor. It's kind of like, it's almost like a New Japan crowd. Like they go dead for like certain segments of these matches. Like, you can hear these guys, like, clear as day.
Oh, yeah.
Because that crowd, like, sometimes...
Well, it's just a pretty small venue, too.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear a pin drop in there.
Yeah. If they have the anniversary show in Vegas next year, we should think about going.
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely down for that. Then we had the Bullet Club, Hangman Page, new Bullet Club member Frankie Kazarian, who turned Bullet Club as he turned on his best friend,
yes,
Christopher Daniels. Do you remember what was he called back in the day?
You keep telling me that we saw him at a show here locally, and I don't remember.
The Future.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
He was The Future.
Okay, I remember
and
that.
And I don't know. I'm positive it was here, but it might have been in L.A. I swear to God it was here, though. I don't know how many shows we went to here in Sac.
A couple.
There was the one at Mather. There was one at Mather, but yeah. I don't remember being there multiple times. I thought we just went like once.
Could be.
I don't know. I remember the future Frankie Kazarian. And now it's like, now we're fucking old and he's still wrestling and he still looks amazing.
I know.
He looks
ridiculous. He had a couple moves in this match that were pretty awesome. The cutter that he did.
Oh, I know.
That was awesome.
I know. It was rad. So this was for the number one contender to Marty Scurll's TV title.
Correct. So it saw Hangman Page
uh-huh.
versus Kazarian versus Chris Sabin versus Cheeseburger.
Oh, I love Cheeseburger.
He's great. Versus Silas Young.
I love Silas Young so much. I'm telling you, they're going to push this dude this year. I'm telling you.
I don't know, man. Sometimes he seems like he doesn't really know how to wrestle. Like he does, because he does some cool moves.
I know, man, I
but
know.
But it just feels like he just barely pulls them off every time.
You can't.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I mean, I understand the appeal of
it. You kind of can't trust him to chain wrestle either. He gets lost so easily chain wrestling.
And it's funny, because his gimmick is the last real man, but it just means he's grumpy. Just constantly grumpy.
And he's younger than us, but he looks so old.
I know. But anyways, the final competitor in this match was Punishment Martinez.
Punishment Martinez. So when we watched Punishment Martinez for the first time
at Honor Rising.
Honor Rising, you were less than enthralled.
Yeah, but this was a good showing for him.
That
move he did where he jumped off the second rope and landed on everybody outside, that was impressive for a man of his size.
When I saw him do that, I started to think, what would it look like if Steve did that move and I would just topple over and hurt myself really bad?
I don't know if you'd make it over the top rope.
Because I've seen,
and I'm saying that because I'm pretty sure I wouldn't make it over the top rope either.
I've seen a couple guys do that. I think Donovan Dijak.
Oh, okay.
I think he did that move too. That dude is like legit fucking 8 feet tall and he just like flies around
the
ring.
Crazy.
But the thing when you see Donovan do it is that it looks like it hurts. It's like you're watching Yao Ming do it. How like when I would watch Yao Ming run, it looked like the man hurts running, running. He's so big, it looks like anybody does those crazy moves.
That's crazy.
It looks like it hurts him so bad. Oh, God.
Grand Metalik.
Grand Metalik.
Does that move.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen a couple dudes do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
No, it's a cool move. And yeah, there was a lot of, they do a lot of that. They do a lot of that jumping out of the ring shit.
We'll get to that later.
And there's like, this is foreshadowing.
Yes.
And I swear to God, there's like six inches of space between the ring, like the mat or the apron rather, and the barrier. And that posed a problem later on because there's not a lot of space there.
At times I looked and it felt like there was plenty of space.
Really?
And then at other times, I looked and it seemed narrow.
Oh, man.
I think part of it is because they have the mats on the outside of the ring, but they don't cover the full length of the floor between ring and
barrier.
You see
hardwood down there.
Yeah, there's floor in between.
Yeah.
So depending on the vantage point and the angle of the camera, it seems like, oh, wow, there's tons of space there.
Yeah.
And other angles, it seems like there's hardly any space at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I never felt the former. I always felt the latter. I was always like, oh, my God, this looks like a really
Well, I knew it was going to happen in a match later on, so I kind of paid attention to it.
Okay. All right. Because
I watched this the following day.
Yeah. Yeah, I texted you about that. Anyways.
This was a fun match.
No, this is really a really fun match. Lots of great moves from everybody involved. Like Silas Young. I thought Silas Young was going to win this thing, too. But Frankie Kazarian ended up going over.
Yep.
And you know what I loved about Kazarian? He was, maybe this is a tell for later. He was all in on Bullet Club. He came down to their theme. He had themed shorts.
Yep, dropping two sweets.
Dropping two sweets to everybody. It was great. There was a great sequence or a great little segment where it was him and Paige had both been, like, we're both in the ring together, and they act like they were about to go at it.
Just they two-sweet each other. That was fun.
So that was fun.
Tons of great spots in this match.
I always love seeing Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin's a guy who's always been sort of on the periphery of my radar.
Yeah.
Because, like, I saw some of his better work in TNA.
Yeah.
Like, because I think he was, like, a big part of the X Division, I think.
Yeah.
And then he started doing the Motor City Machine Guns thing. Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I've seen him, I was like, oh, cool. I know I'm going to get some cool shit watching Chris Sabin.
Yeah.
You know?
Cheeseburger is always tons of fun.
It's always great watching Cheeseburger.
I know.
He's so tiny. But anyways, Kazarian ended up going over. I forgot who he pinned to go over, though.
I think Sabin.
Was it Sabin? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
That makes sense. Then we had a fantastic match between Bobby Fish, Jay Lethal. I'm not sure. I didn't really catch up on the story in terms of like why these guys are fighting, but it's just like two baby faces going at it.
They were saying that it wasn't official that this was the number one contenders match for the world title, but it was more or less to make a good impression
on
the board of directors or something like that.
I think this is one of those Ring of Honor things.
I think they call it a top contenders match or something
Best
like that.
Best contender.
Something like that.
Yeah, probable contender match.
Yeah, but it was a really good match.
What do you think of Bobby Fish? Because I hadn't seen a lot of him up until I started watching the TV show. That dude can cut a fucking promo, man.
Oh, yeah?
That dude can cut a fucking promo. I really like him.
Based on the story of the match, like the first bit of it, because it was, you know, there was doing a lot of setup
first
quarter, third of the match.
Yeah.
And so I'd heard a lot about Bobby Fish and you know, how his offense was really MMA focused.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the first third of the match, I was like,
yeah.
I don't see what the huge deal is. Man, yeah. I love Jay Lethal. I think
he's fantastic. Yeah, he's great.
But then as the match went on, Bobby Fish continued to impress me more and more and more. Like, his kicks are stiff.
Yeah, I know.
Some of the transitions he was doing, the moves were really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I left the match pretty impressed.
I'd like to go back and watch some of his work with Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, as Redragon?
In Dragon Again.
Red Dragon, yes. Redragon.
In Redo Dragon Again.
Yes.
But, yeah, I thought this was a fantastic match. I thought this was, like, really, really good. These two guys, I don't know how long Bobby Fish has been around, but obviously Jay Lethal's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And they put on a really, really fantastic match. Jay Lethal ended up going over.
Yep, hit the lethal injection,
mm-hmm.
got the pin.
Yeah. Then we had the Kingdom versus, I fucking love Dalton Castle, man. I am fucking all in on this guy. I fucking love his shit. I know he's been doing this for a little while now, and I know, look, full disclosure, you guys can fucking talk shit in the comments all you want. We are late to the game on Ring of Honor.
Oh, very much
like,
so.
We are fucking late.
I mean, this
to
is
the
15th anniversary show, and this is the first one of their major shows we've seen.
I know.
We're 15 years late.
Exactly. Totally fine with that, because you know what? We saw the future Frankie Kazarian before they fucking started Ring of Honor,
probably.
So I don't want to hear it.
Probably.
Definitely.
That was
if that was
97
here
or 98.
Major, that was 97 or 98. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we were ahead of the game, and then we took a lot of time off. Like, kind of like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Like, they started right after I stopped going to local shows in L.A.
Yeah. But they started when we were both still living in Los Angeles.
I know. Like, we had probably, like, 7 years, 6 or 7 years of being able to go to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla shows.
We didn't do it.
And we just never went.
Finally went to our first one this year.
But I saw all those fuckers that started Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I saw them before Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways.
Continue.
We have some amount of credibility. Dalton Castle and his boys took on the Kingdom. Oh, my God.
What do you think of the Kingdom, Steve?
Maybe I just need more time with them. But they come. What? Didn't I text you something? I texted you something about them.
Well, the first thing was about the spot with TK Orion.
No, I thought I texted you something before that. But yeah. Oh, man.
Well, hold on. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. So anyways, I thought this was such a fun match.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love Dalton Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's good.
I love Colt Cabana was on commentary, and he was downplaying the effectiveness of the boys. He was like, I was in a handicap match against both these guys, and I fucking beat them handedly. So I'm not sure how they're going to really be effective against the Kingdom, who are three wrestlers who are actual wrestlers. But... We keep on texting each other Michael Hayes as Grimace.
Yes.
In his Grimace outfit.
It always makes you laugh.
Anyways, what do you think about this? What do you think of the Kingdom? Tell me what you think about it. Tell me what you told me off camera about the Kingdom.
Oh, I thought they were kind of annoying.
They are annoying. I don't get what their thing is.
Yeah, because they're called the Kingdom. When they came out and they made it seem like this is the first time I did it, they were all wearing crowns.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't.
Why
get
are they?
It
what are they the Kingdom of? Because I know Mike Bennett used to be in the Kingdom, and then you said Adam Cole used to be in the Kingdom too in their first iteration, and then they were pretty clear that Matt Taven resurrected the Kingdom.
I said
in his image.
Yeah, I said the Kingdom feels like unused submissions for WCW or Fun Wrestling.
Oh yeah,
because they have lazy creator wrestling. Not that you guys are sending us lazy creator wrestling guys, but like I feel like these are uninspired creator wrestlers.
Yeah, but they're all unified in their presentation though.
Yeah.
Anyways, so the match was going on. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun enough.
Yeah.
And then TK Orion decides to do a moonsault
off
the apron to like everybody on the outside.
This is when that gap between the apron
proved to be too narrow.
It looked. I was like, number one, this dude all of a sudden like on the shot that we saw of the moonsault. He looked like he was legit 7 feet compared to everything else. And it didn't even look like he put that much effort into jumping. But, man, he overshot that moonsault by fucking like
couple feet.
A mile.
Or a foot and a half.
By so much. It felt like when he went off, I was like, oh my God, he's going to land like in the upper deck.
Yeah.
Like he went off and he was, he just kept on going.
Yeah, I know.
And so he like, he landed it, but his shin crashed, like both of his shins like crashed in the barrier, like flat.
Yes.
And
then he fell to the ground, leaned over to Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
They talked for a bit, and mm-hmm. then TK O'Ryan lifted one of his legs up, the one that didn't break. It was fine. Lifted the other one up, and you can see his foot kind of move in a way it's not supposed to.
Yeah.
And so you told me, don't watch the replay.
This is my exact text. This is my text to you. I said, man, pretty sure one of the Kingdom guys just destroyed his shin. Like, legit. I couldn't watch the replay. But he didn't moonsault off the... But he didn't moonsault off the top rope. Oh, but he did a moonsault off the top rope and his legs got murdered on the barrier. When they showed the replay, everyone gasped. They had to carry him off. They had to wrap up the finish pretty quick.
Yeah, they did have to wrap up the finish. So I took your advice. I watched the original spot.
Yeah.
And when I saw him pick up his foot and his foot was mm-hmm. like his ankle was made of jello.
Yeah.
I said, okay, yeah, he broke his leg for sure.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then someone posted the spot on Facebook. And so I watched the replay, and you could literally see the barrier go through his shin bones.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
It's pretty gnarly.
That's fucked up, man.
And then he posted, TK O'Ryan posted a picture on Twitter of himself in the back of an ambulance with a splint on his on his leg, and it was starting to bruise already.
Yeah, and he tweeted out that he's going to need surgery and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if he broke both the bones, he'll need surgery for sure.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Because that was definitely breaking both bones in your leg.
It's pretty nasty. Anyways, the Kingdom ended up going, in the rushed finish, they ended up going over Dalton Castle and the boys. But I love Dalton Castle. I think he's going to have a big year.
Oh, yeah.
Just from the limited amount of time that I've seen him, I think he's going to have a big year.
I should, I'll bring over my Bola 2016 DVDs because he has a really fun match where the boys are Redragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's Bobby cool. Fish. That's neat.
So I'll bring that over so you can watch that.
That's rad. No, you know what? Because I also saw him on like last week's Ring of Honor TV. Like he was on commentary and then seeing him at Honor Rising where he had such a like he just looked like he was having such a good time. Like he started to break character a little bit.
Yeah.
That he was so tickled to be there. And I always love seeing that, you know? And his entrance is fantastic.
Yes.
Everything about him is great. And he's a good wrestler, too.
Yeah.
Hell of a wrestler. Then we had a fucking fantastic match.
Marty
Scurll, the villain, versus Leo Rush, who we got the pleasure of seeing both these guys live at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. But I had never seen anything of Leo Rush prior to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah, neither have I.
I think that was his PWG debut, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
And for Jay White. Anyways, he is a fucking joy to watch. He is an absolute joy to watch. Marty Scurll is always fun to watch. But these two put on a really, really fun match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was just a really
fun
match.
A lot of false finishes, a lot of great spots where Marty was trying to get the chicken wing on. There's that one spot where Leo Rush did, like, a springboard move off the ropes, and Marty caught him with a chicken wing.
Jumped into it and caught him with a chicken wing.
Good.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Really good storytelling in this match.
Yeah, really, like, Leo Rush has that real, like, breakneck, fast pace, and it's just so much fun to watch him. I had to check out, like, I think he's only, like, 22 years old or
something.
Yeah,
he's real young.
But he can tell a fucking great story in the ring. Like,
I know.
I was just looking, and I was like, man, where is this dude going to be in 10 years? Like, just blowing it up.
I know.
It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to see that dude develop. Then we had Bully. This is interesting. Bully Ray and the Briscoes. Bully Ray signed a one-year deal with Ring of Honor. And according to, I forget, it was an interview of some sort. He said just over the weekend that they were apparently, the WWE is a day away from pulling the trigger on a solo run with him as sort of the Bully Ray character.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And man, what a bummer.
I know.
Like, what an absolute bummer. That could have been a lot of fun.
I didn't see a ton of his heel work in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good what I saw.
The stuff that I saw was really, really, like, it made me want to kind of tune in.
He could always cut a promo.
Yeah.
He could always cut a great heel promo.
Yeah. And he was always like, I guess at one point, like, somebody cut, like, the cameras weren't rolling, and somebody caught him, like, running down a fan that was out there that was running him down, and he was using some language that he probably shouldn't have been using. But you got to appreciate the dude at least was in character all the time. You know, like, he really took that heel persona very seriously. And he was like, so fucking legit. And it kind of bums me out that WWE didn't, like, want to run with that.
Yeah.
Any event, he's in Ring of Honor. And he also said in that same interview, I wish I knew who fucking what the interview was about or where it was from. But he also said that, you know, he has a very specific idea of what he wants to do in Ring of Honor. He's like, I'm not looking to hold any young talents back. I'm not looking to, you know, ride out my days here. He says, I think I can evolve the Bully Ray character even further here in Ring of Honor.
And he said something about there was no point going back to TNA because there was essentially nothing left for him to do there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good
He pretty much wrestled everybody, had programs with everybody.
Did you see the, so I guess when Alberto El Patreon.
Oh, yeah. They messed up his,
when he, so I guess video on, package. On TV, I didn't watch the damn show, but I kind of want to just because I think it's going to be another train wreck. Like everything they've done just in the first 2 weeks have been a train wreck.
I mean, they messed up the video package of.
Well, so on TV, you see him come out, and like the crowd doesn't really pop that hard for him.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because they actually did when he first actually came out to see, like, and the crowd first saw him, but they fucked up his video package and called him
Alberto
De Patreon.
Oh, yeah, instead of
not
Del.
Alberto Al Patreon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking really?
I know.
Really?
I know.
This is your premier gold stand, and I love Alberto Del Rio. I think he's fantastic. And I thought it was fantastic that Impact was bringing him in.
Yeah.
And the first thing you do is fuck up his name. And so on TV, when you see him, it's like a dead crowd.
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I know.
And you can't, like, you can't possibly manipulate
I would think so, yeah.
Like, I mean, it might look weird.
Because no one's...
Because everybody's like...
No one's standing up and cheering.
And then you hear, like, a lot of cheering and shit. But, I mean, then, I don't know. I mean, can't you...
You could cut around
it somehow.
Isn't there
B-roll of the crowd?
You would think so.
You would think there's something they could do. Fucking A, man.
I don't know.
What are you doing, Impact? You're terrible immediately. So, anyways, Bully Ray and the Briscoes. I fucking love the Briscoes, man. Jay Briscoe is... He's the fucking man. If I can grow up, I'd want to be Jay Briscoe. Yeah, man. Let's go and raise some chickens. I'm chicken farm, man. What do you do on a chicken farm? You make eggs? Is that right? Is that what they do? And then you, like, kill chickens?
I would think so.
Me too, man. I wonder if they're free range on the Briscoe chicken farm.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea. So they took on
about chicken farming.
They took on War Machine, who made a pretty good impression on us at Honor
Rising. Oh, I love War Machine. And Hoss Machine.
Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah, because his buddy is injured. Lance yes. Archer.
Yeah, he has a herniated disc in his neck.
Yeah, ooh. God, that sucks. Anyways, yeah, Bully Ray ended up getting the pin over one of these guys. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably Davey.
I think so,
Smith.
Yeah, yeah, because there was... I don't know why that happened. It was. I took notes on my phone or did notes.
Funnier this way, though. Davey Not Smith Jr.
I know. Sometimes things autocorrect.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dissension between War Machine and Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah.
Throughout the match,
he was a cancer on their chemistry.
Essentially.
Yeah. No good.
And so Bully Ray hit a 3D, I believe, on Davey Boy Smith Jr. Picked up the win.
And Bully was. They were getting very meta with his stuff. They were doing the what's up.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff. I liked it. It was cool, man. I like that Bully Ray is entering in this part of his career. You know, him and Devon have that school, I think, that they've opened up,
yeah.
The wrestling school, and he's going to be in Ring of Honor. I think that's great. That's
and
fantastic.
Devon's working backstage as a producer.
Oh, I love that.
WWE. I know.
I absolutely
great.
Love that.
It's
fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Then we had, oh my God.
Tons of fun.
This match was so fun, man. The Hardys versus the Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice. This was so much damn fun. So, I mean, so many great spots, all the stuff that you'd expect from the Young Bucks.
I feel, I'm starting to feel really bad for Beretta because apart from the PWG match he watched, every match I've seen him in, he takes at least one bump that does not look fun. For example, the Wrestle Kingdom match where he does a move, jumps over the rope, and lands on floor. Doesn't hit anything but floor.
Yeah.
In this match, there's at least three spots.
Yeah.
He took a move onto the thumbtacks.
Yeah.
He had a mouthful of
thumbtacks. He had a mouthful of thumbtacks.
And ate a super kick.
Oh, God.
And then he took the finish, the swanton, through the table at the end of the match.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And then he got powerbombed on the ramp.
Yes.
Four spots.
Yeah, that's right. He got destroyed. And this, honestly, this match just seemed to be Hardys versus the Bucks, and Roppongi Vice was sort of viewed as like...
I don't know, because the match was originally supposed to be the Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice.
I know.
In a street fight, so I was almost feeling like this was originally how the match was kind of booked.
Yeah.
Because there was large portions of the match where the Hardys weren't involved.
Yeah, I know. But okay, so for example, when they were doing the suck it, delete stuff, and they would just like chop Roppongi Vice out of it. Just thematically, they seem to be in the way of the Hardys and
that,
the Bucks
the story
going
is,
at it.
Yeah, the story totally, is Hardy and the Young
but
Bucks.
But they know. They got theirs in. There was that great spot where
Rocky Romero got the gauntlet with thumbtacks.
Yes.
And the forever clotheslines.
Oh my God, that was cracking me up. Because like he would comedically run around. Like,
I know.
There's a way to run and make it look serious, but then there's a way to comedically do it, like when you're virtually running in place and then you turn a corner and just keep on doing
it.
Oh, that was fucking great. I love those guys. It was fantastic. It was really good. The Hardys ended up going over.
Jeff scaled the top of a ladder.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy set up a table, put Beretta on it.
Yeah.
Jeff did a swanton through Beretta on the table, got the pin.
Yeah. That's amazing what Jeff Hardy still does.
It was crazy how he did that move. He just kind of flipped over the top of the ladder.
I know.
Effortlessly.
It's so weird.
I know.
It's like, it's just weird at this point. It's not like, oh man, that's amazing. It's just weird.
I know.
You just go, whoop.
I know.
It's crazy.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
It seems like any Young Bucks match is so creatively booked.
I saw a picture of the Hardys with the Super Kick Championship titles.
Yeah, they took them after the match.
That's fantastic. You know the Bucks have to be marking out so hard over being this involved with the next step of the Broken Universe thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to get such a kick out of this, so to speak.
Is getting a super kick out of it, huh?
They're having a super kick out of it, Larson. Where are the Hardys going next? Aren't they like they're just going around collecting tag titles? I think that's sort of the deal. They just like call it promotions.
That's their expedition for gold.
Exactly.
They started in TNA. Yeah.
They're just calling up these promotions saying, "Hey, you want the Hardys in your shit? Give us your tag titles,
pretty much,
and we'll get you know." There's no loss for you guys. Although they command a pretty big,
But they bring in a pretty good.
They
crowd,
do. Yeah, they're the biggest. Yeah, they're the biggest draw right now in the indie scene. That's fantastic.
Because I think they have the Crashes tag team titles, Conan's promotion.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then I think they were doing some show this week.
I would not surprise me if they came into PWG. Who's got the PWG titles? We're talking
Young Bucks.
They still have the PWG titles? Huh. Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
They've had those titles for a long time.
Because PWG, I mean, I have no idea. I thought they just ran their shows like once every 2 months, but they're doing a monthly thing.
And
so far,
Young Bucks are facing Pentagon Jr. in Phoenix against them. I can't remember. It's a 3-way dance.
Okay,
can't remember the third team offhand though.
Mm.
I don't think it's the Chosen Bros.
Mm.
I'll have to look.
Mm.
That's the show on the 18th
of March.
Yeah, this weekend, this upcoming weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. Then we had our main event, which, man, you know, if it wasn't for Omega Okada, like, this would be on the list. I mean, this to me would be on the list for match of the year. Like, it wouldn't make it, but it would be, like, you know, up there. Because I thought this was a fantastic match.
This is one of those matches where blood added so much to the story.
Oh, my God. It was coming down off Christopher Daniels, man. Oh, my goodness gracious. Fantastic story.
We were just having a debate. I don't remember if it was on the show or not, whether Adam Cole could put on a 5-star match. I don't know if this would be a 5-star match.
It's fucking, he's a really good storyteller.
Yes.
And that's sort of one of the things that you need. Like, that's kind of prime criteria for putting on a match this good.
And his trash talk throughout the match.
Oh my God. I just wrecked you. I might go to your home and wreck your wife. Whoa!
Wow!
And that's when the silent crowd comes in pretty handy because you can hear it clear as day. It was just an absolutely fantastic match. These guys, like the story, Daniels never having won the big gold, and Adam Cole being that piece that's keeping him from it. He's the 3-time winningest,
arguably he's the most decorated world champion in Ring of Honor history. Adam Cole gets the upper hand. There's a ref bump. Frankie Kazarian comes out.
Yeah.
Grabs a world title.
Yeah.
Runs in the ring as if he's going to hit.
Oh, you can see it coming a mile away, but I was marking out so hard for it. I was marking out so fucking hard. Lacey started to like clown me. She was in the other room. I was on my couch, like standing up on my couch saying, "Do it, Kazarian, do it." And he fucking hits Adam Cole.
No, he drops the belt first.
Oh, he drops the belt. That's
Rips
right.
Rips off his Bullet Club shirt. Has a Christopher Daniels shirt on underneath.
Yeah.
And then he goes after
Adam Cole.
It's
like if I wore a Larson shirt, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Daniels hits Cole with 3 best moonsaults ever.
Oh, my God.
Quick succession. It was great.
Because didn't he give him the middle finger, too? Like, he rips off his shirt, and then he goes like that.
Yeah.
I love the middle fingers coming back.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, three. What is it called?
World's best moonsault.
Best world's ever. Best moonsault.
Best moonsault ever.
Best moonsault ever. It was fantastic. Ref comes to, gets the three count, and then Fight TV app went dark.
Oh,
did
really?
You get to see the entire celebration?
Yeah, yeah.
When it was live, it went dark. Like, he won the belt, and then I was like, oh, man, this is cool. And then it just stopped, and I was like, oh, man. I looked down at the chat because there's, like, a live chat going on Fight TV. It's very cool. And everybody's like, oh, my God, my stream just cut dark. I wanted to see his celebration.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So it was kind of a bummer.
They posted a video of it on their Twitter.
Okay, I'll check it out.
And then yeah, when I watched the replay, they showed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was sorry. Because when Kazarian had the belt, I was hoping he'd kill Adam Cole with it. But apparently he didn't. In my mind, I think he did.
No,
okay, just making sure.
No.
But yeah, I was marking out pretty hard.
So yeah, it was a pretty neat moment.
Yeah, it was a fantastic.
And they had they gave Christopher Daniels, I guess, the original, the very first Ring of Honor title.
Really?
So he was holding both the very original Ring of Honor title and the new one.
I have to go back and watch that.
Yeah,
then.
It's pretty neat.
Oh, that's so cool. Good for him. That's fucking fantastic. So now Adam Cole's going to be a four-time Ring of Honor champion when he gets it back, probably in 2 months.
We'll see. I mean, you know, his contract's up end of April.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, his contract's up end of April.
So we'll see.
So anyways, that was our first Ring of Honor pay-per-view. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'll probably have more of this type content as the years go on, Larson.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Speaking of which, we'll have our first video on the New Japan Cup up tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I think, yeah, until like, so the New Japan Cup is going to, they're going to be running matches like all through this week as well.
Well, the
right?
first round, yeah, was this past weekend. And then I think the quarterfinals are having at house shows.
Okay. Oh, yeah, those aren't going to be aired.
Not the whole shows, but I thought I saw that they're going to air the individual matches.
Oh, are they? Okay.
They're going to put them up on New Japan World.
Okay, I saw that like next weekend they're going to show them on New Japan World with English commentary.
Yeah.
Oh, because this week, the first round didn't have English commentary.
Yeah, because Kevin Kelly was in Vegas for Ring of Honor.
That's right. Okay,
and then
cool.
The 19th, there's another show. I don't know if it's the quarterfinal matches or if it's everything else, like the semis and finals. I don't know exactly. I have to look into it.
No, we'll find out.
But early next week, we'll have another New Japan Cup video.
Yeah, absolutely. So until then, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.